you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Did you know that somebody actually marketed baptismal waters in a bottle, the baptismal soap in a bottle? Seriously, I've got a bottle of it right here. It's called Baptism in a Bottle, Wash Your Sins Away. Bubble bath. It's awesome. Yes, wash your sins away. It helps redeem sinners the easy way, it says. We need to use it daily, apparently. There's no rinsing, no scrubbing, no harsh fumes. There's no visible sin scum. Isn't that nice? Here's who it's for. It's for liars, cheaters, and wrongdoers. It's called the Sanctified Soap. It even removes stubborn guilt. How great is that? Let me just walk you through the directions for use in case you want to get this little item. Directions for use. So, number one, kneel before thy tub. Number two, reflect upon your wrongdoing. Number three, run a warm bath. Number four, pour in enough bubble bath to equal your sins. And then in parentheses it says, double the amount you estimate. Isn't that great? Number five, submerge thyself in the blessed bubbles. And then number six, soak. And then number seven, arise, cleansed from sin, and ready to do it all again tomorrow. So there you go, the baptism in a bottle. Oh, it says here that individual soaking time will vary. So depends on what kind of week you've had, I guess. See, when you think about baptism in those terms, it seems kind of silly, doesn't it? I mean, washing your sins away in the waters. But for some reason, many have this idea that baptismal waters possess some kind of magical sin-bleaching power. But what I want us to do is what we always do. Let's go to the scripture and let's see what God's word actually says about this topic of baptism that we're looking at this morning. We're going to begin over in the New Testament. We're going to begin in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Mark chapter 1 is going to be on page 836. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we get finished this morning and I'll make sure that you have one to take home with you. In Mark chapter 1, we're going to be introduced to a guy who specialized in baptisms. We're going to look at the first 11 verses of Mark, and this person who specialized in baptisms is actually referred to as John the Baptist. So for my artists in the room, I would love for you, particularly when we get to about verse 6, I'd love for you to sketch me a little drawing or your rendering of what you think John the Baptist looked like, because he had some interesting fashion statements. His diet was a little interesting as well. And so let's read from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of what? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river, what? The river Jordan, confessing their sins. Here you go, artists. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth. Nazareth was Jesus' hometown, as we talked about last week. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So for my artist, draw me a picture of what you think John the Baptist looked like, standing in the Jordan River, waiting to baptize people. What do you think that looked like, that scene? And when you're finished with those drawings this morning, you can put them on my artist board out in the family or the Home Life Center. So you've got the scene, right? You got the scene, this Old Testament prophecy found in Isaiah. It's actually from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It's being fulfilled here that said there's going to come a day when the kingdom of God is going to be at hand. And God says he's going to have a person who, in a sense, is ringing the bell and letting people know what is going on. He's going to send his messenger ahead of the coming Messiah to start getting the grounds ready for the seeds of the gospel to be planted. And many people are going to love Jesus. They're going to be infatuated with Jesus, curious about Jesus. They're just not going to like Jesus' ideas. So in a sense, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, by the way, John the Baptist kind of played this part of an ancient Paul Revere. Paul Revere rode through towns back during the American Revolutionary War time, and he was yelling out, "Who was coming? Who was coming? The Redcoats are coming. The Redcoats are coming." The British Army. And so in a sense, John the Baptist is doing the same thing, except he's saying, "The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. It's time to repent." Did you catch that in verse 4? Don't miss that. Look back in verse 4. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of what? Repentance. For the forgiveness of sin. The word repent is the Greek word metanoia. Say metanoia with me on three. One, two, three. Metanoia. Metanoia. Metanoia means rethink the way you think about something and then go in a new direction based on a new thought. Rethink the way you think about something and go in a new direction based on a new thought. So what John the Baptist was saying was, hey, we need to turn our lives around here because the Messiah is coming and the kingdom is coming with him. Won't you prepare yourselves by metanoia, by repenting, by rethinking the way you think about your life and thus changing the direction from this point forward? It's kind of like Lent, yes? Yeah, let's rethink the way we think about our life today and let's start walking in a new direction. That's what he's saying. And then look at verse 5. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. I have baptized people in the River Jordan before, and let me just tell you, it is cold. I mean, really cold. But boy, when you step in, you know you're alive. You know you're alive. And there's where we see John baptizing, and he's baptizing Jesus. So this scene that we see here, they were saying, yes, we need to turn it around. Our lives are a mess. We need to make things right before the king and his kingdom show up. So let's demonstrate that expression and the desire of our hearts in a visible, tangible expression of our faith. Let's be baptized. Let's go into the water. Let's be washed of the old way of life and emerge from those waters with a fresh start and a fresh heart. That's the imagery. That's the thought process behind baptism in John's day, in Jesus' day. Now, there's been a lot written about baptism. I love what one amazingly insightful theologian named William Willimon writes about this idea of baptism that John is administering. Willimon says, "This prophetic voice of one crying out in the wilderness appears, and he appears preaching, as we just read in verse 4, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Mark 1:4. Now, let's be clear. John the Baptist is not the Christ, okay? John's the one who's getting everybody ready. So how is it that everybody's going to prepare for this new day, this new age of the kingdom of God? He says, repent, change your ways, and get washed. Now, Willimon goes on to write and say, just like the prophets of old, John's word just strikes abrasively against the easy certainties of the religious establishment. He will let us take no comfort in just coming to church. No comfort in our rites, in our traditions, in our, this is what we've always done. Everybody must submit to being made over. Everybody must descend into the waters, especially all the religious people. The religiously secure, the morally sophisticated. God is able to rise up children even from the stones on the ground if the chosen fail to turn and repent. And then Willimon asks this question. How shocked do you think the church was to see Jesus appear on the banks? To see the Lord appear on the banks of the Jordan, asking John to baptize him, to wash him too. The conversation is actually found in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, verses 13 to 15. Listen to what it says. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John. Why? To be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. So Willimon goes on to ask, how can it be that the Holy One of God, Jesus, should be rubbing shoulders with sinners on their way into the waters? Let me just tell you, the church struggled with this question too. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? Why did he choose to be baptized? Why must our Lord go into this repenting bath? That's a great question. Stay curious as you read Scripture. Ask those tough questions. Here's one answer. When Jesus was baptized, his baptism was not only the inauguration of his mission, and his mission was to go to the cross. It was the inauguration of his mission, and it also was a revelation of the shockingly unexpected nature of his mission. Everybody just thought the Messiah was going to come and kick the Romans out. And Jesus has a different mission. See, his baptism was something that he laid down along the lives of his people. We just came out of a series about parables, and parable means to lay a story, to lay a known imagery down alongside the life of something else, and they begin to compare and contrast and invite people, what does this mean? And that's what Jesus is doing here when he walks into the waters. His baptism is a vignette of his own ministry. Now, why is that so shocking? Well, on two different occasions, Jesus uses baptism to refer to his own impending death. Two different times. He asks his half-hearted disciples over in Mark chapter 10, verse 38. It's on the screen here. Look what it says here in the Message version. Can we go to this next slide back there? Yeah. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he says, "Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink, of being baptized in the baptism that I'm about to be plunged into?" Now, he'd already been baptized in Mark chapter 1. This is Mark chapter 10. So he's obviously talking metaphorically to his disciples. He's wanting them to see something that they're not seeing. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Of course, they all went, "Well, of course. I mean, well, just look at us." And Jesus is going, "Mm-hmm." And so as Jesus submits to John's bath of repentance, Jesus shows the radical way that he will confront sin that enslaves humanity. You know, what are you talking about? Hang with me. You still with me? Take a deep breath. This is heady stuff. Let's take a deep breath on three. One, two, three. Hold it. Okay, let it out. I don't miss this. Jesus' baptism that was begun in the Jordan actually gets completed on Golgotha, on Calvary, at the cross. You go, "What are you talking about?" See that? Let me say it again. Jesus' baptism, begun in the Jordan and completed on Golgotha, is repentance. It is self-denial. It is metanoia to the fullest. See, John presents his baptism as a washing from sin, a turning of self to God. Jesus ups the ante a little bit. He says, "That's a good place to start. Now let's take another step in what it really means." See, Jesus' message is not the simple message of John the Baptist, "Be clean." Jesus' word is more painful, "Be killed." Be killed. See, what Jesus is doing as he takes John's idea of baptism and he begins to build upon it, he expands upon the idea of baptism that John was preaching, that John was teaching. John was teaching a baptism that was like a washing tub, and Jesus says, "Yep, now let's expand it. Let's go to the next iteration, baptism 2.0. Move it from thinking about it as a wash tub to a drowning pool. from washing to drowning. This is the place where you express, you are choosing to die to yourself that I might live in you, to be buried with me in baptism, and to be raised to walk in newness of life. From washing to drowning. Now, you may be saying the same thing that I was saying when I first heard this explanation. Jesus, I love you. I just don't like your ideas. I'm not sure I like this whole concept of dying, of drowning in those waters. I kind of like the idea of being washed and coming out all fresh, coming out all clean, washing that sin right out of my heart. But you see, this isn't a cheap baptism that we're talking about here. It's the costly idea that Jesus calls us to when we consider following him in baptism. It's the costliness that the Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Look at it on the screen with me. In Romans 6, 11, Paul writes, "So you also must consider yourselves what? Dead, not washed. Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ." Think about it, drowning pool, dead to sin, drown it, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. See, Willimon says in baptism, the old Adam, our life group talked about that this morning, the old Adam. If you're not in a life group, let me encourage you to get in a life group. It's so important to be in community so that you might be on mission the way God intended. And so we're sitting in life group this morning talking about Adam, the old Adam. And Willimon says, in baptism, the old Adam, the old self is drowned. It's what Paul goes on to write about in Colossians 3, verse 3. Look at it on the screen with me here. Colossians 3, 3 says this, "For you have what? You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You're buried with Christ in baptism. You're raised to walk in newness of life. Willimon goes on to say, to be baptized into Christ and in the name of Christ means to be incorporated into the way of life which characterized Jesus' life. The life of the one who empties out, the life of the servant, the humble one, the obedient one, obedient even unto death. And when Willimon says that, he's making reference to another place that Paul wrote about this over in Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, favorite chapters of Scripture, Philippians 2. Look what it says in verses 5 through 8. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of what? Death, even death on a cross." And Willimon continues by saying, that day at the Jordan, knee-deep in cold water. Did I mention it was cold? Yes, it's cold. That day at the Jordan, knee-deep in cold water, with old John drenching him, the anointed one, Jesus, began his journey down the way of the cross. That's why I invite you into a season of Lent, a journey toward the cross. You're following in the footsteps of preparation, just as Jesus did. And his baptism began to point where he ultimately would end up. And his whole life was caught up in this single sign. And our baptism does the same thing. Willimon says this, the chief biblical analogy for baptism is not the water that washes, but the flood that drowns. You may want to take a picture of that right there and think deeply about that this week. The chief biblical analogy for baptism is not the water that washes, but the flood that drowns. We have some things that we say here each week. We're Arapaho Road, we're in community and on mission. And we say that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. You know, what does that mean in context to all this? Discipleship means more than just turning over a new leaf. It's more fitful and disorderly than just mere gradual moral formation. Trying better. To use bad English, doing gooder. No. To make disciples is nothing less than daily, often painful, lifelong death to self. Death to self. And to be quite honest with you, that's a difficult idea to like and embrace because it is so counterculture to everything that says, do what feels good now, whatever truth is yours. That is so radically different. But men and women, baptism is more than a washing tub. It is a drowning pool. And that's why Jesus talks so much about death to those who say they want to follow after him. We're at Arapaho Road, we're in community, and that means we, right there, whoa, be careful. That is an aspirational goal that's not always our reality day by day. But we want to keep saying it because we want to know the target that we want to keep shooting at, right? Yes. Yes. But Jesus just wants to make sure that we're all clear about what his ideas are when we say follow Jesus. See, it's easy to love Jesus. It's hard to love his ideas. It's challenging to embrace his ideas and then live it out in his life. In our lives. Because here's part of what follow Jesus means. Look in Luke chapter 9 with me, verses 23 to 24. It says, and he, Jesus, said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross when? Daily and follow me. Now it doesn't end there. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He talks about death again in John chapter 12, verse 24, where he says this in John 12, 24. Can we go to the next one? John 12, 24. We back there? Don't have John 12, 24. Well, let me tell you what John 12, 24 says. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Bears much fruit. And I love Willimon's conclusion on baptism. He writes, on the bank of some dark river, as we are thrust backward, onlookers will remark, careful, you could kill somebody like that. To which old John would say, well, now you're getting it. Now we're getting somewhere. We're not talking about committing suicide. We're talking about aligning our life with Jesus. And we're putting to death our old sin nature and letting him live his life in us as followers of Jesus. So let me just ask you this question. Where are you this morning on the subject of baptism, the issue of baptism? Are you ready to embrace Jesus' idea of baptism today? See, if you can say that you love Jesus, are you ready to take that next step of obedience and follow through with his idea of baptism? At the end of your row, would you look at the end of your row? There should be a little sheet like this, little guide like this. Would you take it and just pass it down so that everybody has one of these, and we'll wrap this time up and give you an opportunity to engage here just for a second before we leave. My response to God's word, there's four different boxes there. I want to just walk through them quickly with you. Just take a second before you start filling it out. But will you take it and look at it with me for a moment? Because I want each person to respond in some way to the message this morning. I'm asking you to mark one of these four little choices here. And then when we're done, just leave it in your seat. We'll gather them and we'll follow up and go through them later this week. But today I believe God wants every person to seriously consider the things that we've been talking about this morning regarding baptism. Number one, will you pray daily this week about being baptized? If you've never been baptized or you're unsure, if you knew what you were doing then, would you pray daily this week about being baptized? Maybe for you, the commitment that you need to make is that, hey, I'm going to pray about that. I'm not ready to do that this morning, but I will pray about that. And if you mark that first little choice, know this, that our staff is going to pray for you as you're praying for God to lead you into a next step about being baptized. Look at that second one there. Some of you may just have some questions about baptism and you'd like to talk to me a little bit more, or one of our other pastors, and we can contact you this week. I'll contact you this week and set up a time to walk through some of those questions with you. If that's where you are, mark that second one there. I've got questions about baptism and would like for a minister to contact me this week. Maybe for you, it's number three here. Maybe today, you know you're ready to be baptized. You haven't taken that next step. You'd like to begin that process today. You could mark that third choice, and someone from our staff or I will follow up with you this week, and we'll set up a time for you to be baptized. If you're going, hey, I'm ready to roll. I mean, I'm ready. In just a few moments, as I mentioned to you before the message started, we can go be baptized this morning. I'll baptize you this morning. If you're just like, I've heard the teaching. I'm convinced. God's been, my heart's been beating fast. I know I need to do this now. Next step. Awesome. We'll go in just a few moments. But then look at choice number four. Maybe you're like me and you've already trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've already been baptized. Would you take a moment this morning to just reflect on that? I trusted Jesus as my Savior when I was, how old were you? Or when was it? And I was baptized by immersion. When? Where? For me, it was when I was in the second grade. Peter McLeod, our pastor at First Baptist Waco, baptized me shortly afterwards. This is my certificate of baptism that I got on the 23rd of March, 1980. Just signifying that day that I let everybody know I'm a follower of Jesus. Did I comprehend all the drowning pool stuff? No, I have to confess I didn't. Did I know that I needed to take a next step in my faith? Yeah, I did. And so I did. As long as you're loving God with all your heart at wherever you are right then in life, that's enough for God. He doesn't expect you to love him with a knowledge that you don't already have. He expects you to love him with all that you do have. Right where you are. And as you follow him, you will grow to understand more and more.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.